As if the NFL coaching cycle wasn't interesting enough, it became red hot yesterday as John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens parting ways after 18 seasons. What does that mean for the Cleveland Browns, a team that needs a head coach, a team that needs a lot of things? Well, there's a head coach from the division available now, a gentleman who is all over it on his website, profootballtalk.com, and you see him on NBC every Sunday, all playoffs long, joins us right now on the Make It Right Call Kyle Wright hotline. He is Mr. Mike Florio. Hello, Mike.
How are you, Mike?
Gentlemen, how are you? Are you suggesting the Browns are dysfunctional? Because they're definitely not dysfunctional. Don't call the Browns dysfunctional. I thank you on behalf of Jimmy Haslam.
We did get that message the other day, did we not?
Isn't that like the worst way to handle something that bothers you? Didn't we learn that as kids? When they give us a nickname we don't like, if we act like it bothers us, what happens? We're called that same name 50 years later. If you act like it don't bother you, then that's the way, or more accurately in this situation, stop being dysfunctional and they'll stop calling you dysfunctional.
Well, there's a lot of validity to what you said, Mr. Florio. That's you.
Especially as someone who got picked on a lot as a kid. You're 100% right. My mom did tell me
that. You can ignore some things. John Harbaugh's out there. He's available. He's from this area. He likes this area. He grew up a Browns fan. His mom's from Cleveland. Does that mean anything?
Well, I think it should. Now, again, we don't know what a dysfunctional team is going to do. A properly functioning team would be at the front of the line to try to hire John Harbaugh, period. And I'd like to think that the decision to make Kevin Stefanski the fall guy for the disastrous and dysfunctional Deshaun Watson trade and contract, I'd like to think they had a plan for upgrading above Kevin Stefanski and that they had someone in mind who would be willing to take that job. Because frankly, if I have options, I'm not taking that job. I'm not going to work for the Browns. No way, no how. And the Browns need someone that the fans will feel good about, not just because the Browns need them to renew their season tickets. I think this move was about the inevitable PSL prices that are going to come out. They did a survey back in December. I don't think it went over very well, but they're going to expect fans to help finance that new stadium by making those lump sum payments for the fiction of leasing the ability to sit in the tickets they're eventually going to buy. The fans have to feel good about that. They need a coach that's going to make the fans feel better about the team. And unless you swing for the fences and bring in a big name, an established name that's going to cause people to believe things will change, even if they don't, you need them to think things will change. So if they don't already have somebody else in mind, they need to get after Harbaugh immediately.
Do you think there would be any kind of issue with having Andrew Berry stay along when it comes to bringing in John Harbaugh?
Well, I don't know. Without knowing what Harbaugh would want and how much power he's going to have. But the reality is, if teams are clamoring for him, he does have more juice than he otherwise would have. And if Harbaugh says to Jimmy Haslam, I'm interested in the job, but I'd like to have control over the construction of the front office, then Haslam's going to have to decide, is he willing to move on from Andrew Berry to get the coach that he wants? And I know plenty of people are asking the fair question of why it's Stefanski and not Berry who's taken the fall, because all of the things that Haslam said in justifying the move from Stefanski, those same things apply to Andrew Berry. And I don't think Andrew Berry won two Executive of the Year awards in the years that the Browns somehow cobbled together enough wins to get to the playoffs under Stefanski. He's a two-time coach of the year because he went to the playoffs two times when people would look at it and say, how in the hell did the Browns make the playoffs? Like, you're defying all expectations, especially in 2023, the second year of the failed Deshaun Watson experiment when they got Joe Flacco off the couch to come in and finish the job. So, look, nothing against Andrew Berry. I just think in a situation like this, and I'm never a big fan of half measures, I think that the GM and the coach need to have equal accountability in any football operation, because when you allow an environment to exist where one guy stays and one guy goes, what happens is when the team encounters adversity, and every team does at some point, that's when the coach and the GM realize, I'm going to go to my separate corner here and I'm going to blame the other guy. And it always hurts the coach, because during the games, the GM is the one who's in position to whisper to the owner about all the things the coach is doing wrong. And the coach can't do anything to defend himself in that setting. And that happens in every sport. The people who are sitting with the owner, when things aren't going well on the field, they make the case for why the guy down there doing the job of coaching the team is the guy who's not getting it done the right way. So to answer your question, if they really want Harbaugh, Harbaugh is going to be able to dictate terms. And Harbaugh may put Jimmy Haslam in a position where if he wants Harbaugh, he's going to have to be willing to clean out the front office. But again, we don't even know that the Browns are going to make a run at Harbaugh. We'll see. The Giants have been very aggressive so far. They're already the betting favorites to the extent that means anything. There are teams out there that don't even have vacancies who are calling about Harbaugh. So if you want him, you're going to have to move quickly. And it makes plenty of sense for the Browns to try to pick off a longtime Ravens coach and bring some of what he's done in Baltimore over the last 18 years, 12 playoff appearances. And I know that they've underachieved in recent years, but still, this is a guy who is going to land somewhere, and maybe he won't even want to come to the Browns. I don't know. But the Browns need to be exploring whether or not they have a shot at bringing in a guy who could make them that consistent playoff contender, not Super Bowl contender. Let's start with consistent playoff contender and then go from there.
Mike Florio joining us, Pro Football Talk. You see him on NBC, author of Big Shield. Not about the NFL, correct? Isn't that what your lawyer would say?
No, not about the NFL. And then the Browns aren't dysfunctional. It's kind of the same, thing.
Kevin Stefanski should fall where on other teams' coaching wish lists?
Well, he was the betting favorite to be the Giants head coach, and he's interviewing with the Giants, and he would probably prefer that John Harbaugh not have been fired by the Ravens, but I think that he'll have options. He'll have opportunities. You know, anybody that is evaluating Kevin Stefanski needs to do a fair assessment of what he did given with what he had to work with. And I think people in the business will look at Stefanski and realize he did a pretty good job given there are just too many chefs in the operation. What did Paul DePodesta do? Chief strategy officer. Did he ever have a good strategy? I mean, let's be fair about it. What did they do during that 10-year stretch other than be horrible? And they were intentionally horrible for a while. They had that incentive plan where coaches and executives got extra money for carrying over cap space and stockpiling draft picks, which was a fancy way of tanking. And they did. Now, did they get the payoff on the back end? No, in part because of Deshaun Watson. But I think that, and look, he'll never admit this because this is part of the gig. You want to be able to meddle, but you don't want it to look like you're meddling. So others in the organization are the ones who take the blame for the decisions that go poorly. But I just think that I don't want to say Stefanski was coaching with one arm tied behind his back, but what did he really have there? You know, you look at Stefanski, two playoff appearances in 6 years. Zach Taylor has two in 7 years. Zach Taylor isn't going anywhere. And Zach Taylor's had Joe Burrow. So I think Stefanski did a good job with what he had, and I think folks who get it will recognize that Stefanski is somebody that needs to be taken seriously as a candidate. In a year where there aren't a lot of clear-cut, obvious, these are the guys we need to go out and try to hire. That's one of the reasons Harbaugh is so hot. There isn't that Ben Johnson this year. There isn't that guy that everyone's lining up for, and even though Stefanski ultimately didn't do well enough to stay in Cleveland, I think that folks who understand how it works will recognize that Stefanski did the best that he could to make it work during his time with the Browns.
Mike Florio joining us on the hotline and helping all of us put the fun and dysfunctional along the way. You can read his book, Big Shield, as well. You can get that on Amazon, anywhere else that they are. Mike, is there like a hot coordinator candidate that we're really not paying attention to that we should circle as somebody the Browns should be interested in, who you're hearing in circles?
I mean, usually by now we know who the hot coordinator is. Now, there could be a guy that, you know, has a much higher profile within the walls of the organizations, and they're keeping their mouths shut because they don't want there to be a land rush. They don't want to have to overpay. Teams don't like to overpay coaches. We used to hear, oh, there's no salary cap for coaches, but you know what? There's no salary floor. They don't like to have to pay somebody a ton of money. So there isn't that guy yet. Maybe once a guy starts doing interviews and they're like, oh, I really like his plan. Oh, I really like his vision. Oh, I really like how he communicates. This becomes a guy who suddenly is a lot hotter. But you know, one of the problems is you look at the teams that are among the best in the NFL this year. Like, if Josh McDaniels hadn't had two failed head coaching stints, he'd be one of the hot candidates this year. Vance Joseph, I think, is going to emerge as someone that may get his second shot finally because of what he's done with the Broncos defense this year and last year. But, you know, the guys who have never been head coaches before, I wrote this the other day, I think it's going to be very hard for them to get jobs in this cycle. Most of these teams are going to be looking for coaches who have been a head coach at some level before, college or pro, and there isn't that guy who's just been pegged as, you know, a no-brainer future head coach. It's just not there in this cycle.
Where does Mike McCarthy fit, Mike?
Well, hey, this is a guy who had a lot of success with the Green Bay Packers, but you could argue he didn't do nearly as much as he could have, given that he had Aaron Rodgers for all those years. With the Cowboys, it was mixed results. I still think back to that playoff loss to the Packers a couple of years ago when the Cowboys had a really strong season. They were the number two seed, and the Packers rolled in as the seventh seed and blew them out. And I remember McCarthy said after the game, "I don't think anyone saw this coming." My reaction was, well, if anyone should have seen it coming, it's the head coach of the team that was grinding the tape and preparing his team and recognizing that the Packers got really hot down the stretch and they were a force to be reckoned with. So I really don't know. He took a year off the last time in between jobs and landed with the Cowboys. You know, he's going to get interviews. The question is, does he merit a third shot? It's why the second job that a coach takes is so critical. I think it's very hard to get a third job in the NFL. And this will be job number three for McCarthy. He's in his early 60s, although, look, I believe that age should not matter. I know that the NFL has a subtle, unexplored ageism issue. And, hey, I know Pete Carroll got hired last year, but that's the exception. They're always looking for the young, up-and-coming guy who's ideally going to be there for 20 years if it all works out. But, you know, there's some factors that would favor giving McCarthy a fair shake. Whether or not he gets an offer and takes it, that remains to be seen.
Mike, do you see the Browns quarterback situation as being any kind of a bump in the road for any coach that's coming in here between Shedeur Sanders and or Deshaun Watson?
Well, they're going to have Deshaun Watson on the roster this year. They need to finish that contract in order to layer the salary cap consequences the way that they need to. The bulk of that deal still hasn't hit the cap yet, given the way they've structured it. They kick the can every year. But he'll be back next year. And Shedeur's under contract for three more years. And whoever the new coach is going to have opinions on who he thinks should be playing quarterback. And that coach may have an opinion on someone else who's going to be available. There's always a quarterback carousel that spins after the coaching carousel comes to a full stop, not just head coaches, but also offensive coordinators. And those folks have relationships. They have opinions. They have viewpoints on who they think can run their system. You know, this is one of the realities, too. Coaches have their systems, and some coaches will be very inflexible about it. They will want a quarterback who can run their system. They won't be inclined to change their system to meet the skills and abilities and also conceal the limitations of whoever the quarterback is. And that's part of this factor as well. Remember when McDaniels got his first job with the Broncos in 2009? First order of business, run off Jay Cutler. So a lot of times I think coaches will take those jobs and maybe they'll say all the right things on the way in. Oh yeah, yeah, I'll use this quarterback. I like this quarterback. And then once you get the job and you get the 5-year guaranteed contract, a different reality unfolds.
Mike Florio joining us. Mike, we've seen various opinions. Where are these jobs ranked? Most attractive, least attractive. I've seen the Browns 3 in a couple behind the Ravens and the Giants, and I've seen them as low as 6. Where would you put this job?
Well, it's on the low end. Despite the fact that the team is definitely not dysfunctional, it's on the low end because there are factors at play that I don't think you're going to, unless you're confident. And one of the things I've learned from sitting next to Jason Garrett for the past few years at NBC, as you're a head coach, your most important job is to manage down, right? You're running the roster. You're in charge of the team, and you have to manage the players who report to you. There's also a challenge that comes from managing up. And Jason Garrett clearly had to manage up in Dallas. He was dealing with an owner/GM who was very involved with the team. And they found a way in 2014 to get Jerry Jones to not want and insist on the selection of Johnny Manziel with a first-round pick. The Browns' structure in place was unable to get Jimmy Haslam, or the homeless guy that Jimmy retained as an unpaid consultant for the day that he was walking into the facility and decided Manziel was the pick. They weren't able to manage up to get him to not do that. So you need a coach who's going to be willing and able to manage up and take control of the organization. I put it low on the spectrum because, I mean, really, let's go all the way back to 2012. From the moment Jimmy Haslam bought the team has been definitely not dysfunctional. And the dysfunction or not dysfunction in any organization begins at the top. And bad teams stay bad, not because of bad luck or divine intervention or lack thereof. They're bad because the owners are dysfunctional and the owners don't know how to properly run a team. They don't know how to get out of the way. They don't know how to hire the right people who can manage the team while the owner just behaves as a glorified fan. That's the challenge, because we all think it's easy. It looks easy. It's an accessible sport, and we think we understand it. And when you own the team, you got the right to do whatever you want, and no one can fire you, and that's the problem. So long story bearable, I'd put the Browns low. And frankly, I wouldn't put the Ravens as high as others are putting them. You're walking into a mess in Baltimore. First of all, you got a guy who's been there 18 years and won a Super Bowl and was a consistent contender, so the expectations are going to be higher. Second of all, you got to figure out whatever it is keeping Lamar Jackson from getting the most out of his potential, and you've got an aging, expensive roster. I think that whoever takes that Ravens job is going to have a hell of a time continuing the legacy that Harbaugh created.
Mike, how stable do you think the footing is Sean McDermott is in if they don't make the AFC Championship per se?
Well, it all comes down to what the owner wants to do. And at this point, you're getting deeper and deeper into Josh Allen's prime. And this is a playoff run that will not include Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, or Lamar Jackson. This is the best chance that they've had. But they're the sixth seed. And they're going on the road to face the Jacksonville Jaguars. Are they six or are they seven? For some reason, I can't keep that straight. Regardless, they have to go play the Jaguars. The Jaguars overall are a better team right now. And if they lose that game, it won't surprise me if ownership decides to make changes. I think the real question in Buffalo, is it the talent or is it the coaching of the talent? And is it both? Look, as I said earlier, I don't like half measures. I think if the Bills do anything, they need a clean house. And what an attractive job that would be if the Buffalo Bills job becomes open. And I thought it was very interesting that John Harbaugh's agent made it clear that seven teams called with only six vacancies other than the Ravens. There's at least one team, maybe more than one team, that doesn't have a vacancy now that made a phone call. I don't know that swapping out one coach who has failed to get a generational talent to the Super Bowl for another coach who has failed to get a generational talent to the Super Bowl is the answer. But whether it's Harbaugh or someone else, I could see Terry Pegula, the owner of the team, deciding, I need an offensive specialist to come in here and get the most out of Josh Allen in the years that he has left that he'll be playing at a ridiculously high level.
Mike, thank you for your time today. Busy time, and we appreciate you carving it out for us. He's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC, and of course, Big Shield, a very functional book about professional football, not the NFL.
Appreciate it, Mike. Hey, listen,
and I was going to say, I've been called many things, and if you want to call me dysfunctional, that's absolutely fine.